there are alternatives now. There are some. There's solar, wind, hydrogen. They're talking that one up big in California and nationally. Biomass, ethanol, all these things that we're sort of toying with at the margins. What do you see there?
Well, all of these alternatives are technologically viable. There's a big difference between something being technologically viable and being and it being scalable to the degree that we need as quickly as we need.
Right.
If we had 25 to 50 years of peace and prosperity, of political will, international cooperation, massive amount of investment capital, and a couple technological miracles, I'm an optimist in saying that maybe if we could get the energy equivalent of 3 or 4 or 5 billion barrels of oil per year from these alternative sources.
Well, another virgin birth is more likely.
Right. Now, the thing is, though, now this is an optimistic scenario I'm painting here. If we were able to get for the energy equivalent of 4 or 5 billion barrels of oil from these energy alternatives, that would be an accomplishment that would make going to the moon look like walking across the street.
All right. What of those, what looks viable to you or, you know, more likely a better shot than other?
Well, probably wind is probably the most scalable of all of the alternatives.
What is it presently? 7 cents kilowatt hour? Less than that?
Yeah, I think it's right around there. The thing with wind is it's actually becoming competitive with fossil fuel-derived energy.
Right.
The problem is you can't really get more than 20%. An electrical grid, you can't really get more than 20% of the energy from wind or solar, which is solar's not quite as good as wind. It can't deliver the consistent level of energy that industrial society needs. Mm-hmm. If you go into Afghanistan and you hook up a primitive village with solar panels and windmills, their level of living, is going to shoot through the ceiling. But you can't run our modern industrial economy on solar and wind. And if you want to just use it as an example, look at an airport. You know, you can't run an airport on a source of energy that's intermittent. An airport needs energy, a massive amount of energy, 24/7. Okay, and these are things that solar and wind, you know, can you as an individual get solar panels or windmills hooked up to your home? Yes, absolutely. And we should be investing and putting money and time and energy into these things. But we can't run a world economy that requires 30 billion barrels of oil on these alternatives.
No, but we can certainly put off the Stone Age date if we begin doing that like crazy. And how come we're not?
Well, for one thing, it's just these alternatives are very expensive compared to oil. The amount of energy that's contained in a barrel of oil, if you were to get that from renewable resources, it would cost between $100 and $250.
Okay, but somewhere here we can put a scale together, and as the price of the barrel of oil goes up from 55 to 100 to 150, somewhere in that range, solar and wind begin to look very economically attractive.
Right. They may be economically attractive. I mean, they may be competitive with oil. That doesn't mean at that point or with fossil fuels once we get to $150 to $200 a barrel. But our economy will be completely devastated with $150 or $200 per barrel oil. And we would still – the market won't give the signal to begin investing in these alternatives until it's too late. So it's we're in a catch-22. We're waiting for the market to give us a signal, but it's like a tidal wave. Once you see it and once you realize how dangerous it is,
you're already dead.
Exactly. And even if we began switching, we would probably, if we wait till the market gives us that signal, we would probably experience about a 75% reduction in the availability of energy to non-energy aspects of the economy.
Hmm.
And there's a book on this that you can get called Beyond Oil, Threat to Food and Fuel in the Coming Decades. That's where I got that from. The thing is, so there's really no way out of this without a massive economic collapse. Because like I said before, it's not enough that we can scale these alternatives up to give us the energy equivalent of 5 or 15 or 20 or even 25 billion barrels of oil. We need a constantly, our economy, our monetary system requires a constantly increasing supply of energy.
Caller in the first hour of the show, Matt, made an interesting observation. You know, the American people have always been kind of convinced that our government controls the price of gas at the pump, for example. And, you know, they curse them and the oil companies and all the rest of it when the price goes up. But the fact of the matter is we're on the cusp of an election. We're just about to have an election. And if George Bush in any way in this world that I could see were able to control the price of oil and the price of gas at the pump, he would have already done so. Because to have it spiraling up the way it is right now just before the election is as bad as you can get.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also true for the oil companies because, you know, clearly you've got George Bush is an oil man. His family is it's an oil family. And Dick Cheney is the former CEO of an oil services company.
Right.
So big oil likes Bush and Cheney.
Sure.
Now, if big oil had their way, they'd make sure that Bush and Cheney are going to be in office again.
So what that means is that if our government could control it, it would have by now.
Right.
If the oil companies could control the price, they'd be in cooperation with President Bush, and they would have lowered the price. So the price is absolutely uncontrollable by forces that we understand. Is that correct?
Correct. That should tell your listeners who are sort of in the denial camp how out of control the situation is, in that our typically something like this would be manipulated for political purposes, but it's so out of control that it's now getting difficult for even our politicians and oil companies and whoever else you want to artificially blame to control it for their own, for political purposes.
Well, hell, there's got to be somebody we can blame.
You blame the previous, you look in the mirror, because for generations now, every time somebody stood up and said, look, guys, we need to, figure out what we're going to do when we begin to run out of oil. Now, that's, again, running out's not the problem. It's when you pass the 50% mark is when
right.
you begin to run into problems.
Right.
But every time somebody stood up and said that, what would happen? Oh, you're a pessimist. You're a pessimist. Don't hear, you're anti-American because you're suggesting we not drive big cars or because of whatever. And so we don't really have, people want to blame our leaders, and, they're certainly, share a large portion of the blame, but you really get the leadership that you deserve.